Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
buongiornissimo a tutti. This is Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. Today we have a very particular question, and is this one: what is an ethical supply chain? I have to recognize that a long time ago, I mean, when I was facing this question, I asked myself what exactly we are talking about here. But hey, you know what? I mean, this is more popular today than before, that's for sure. And it's going to be very popular in the future. And the only reason why is because today, more than before, consumers are no longer asking for or looking for products. They are looking for, or they are seeking for, connection with the brands. They want to be dipping down in what exactly they are in business for, how they are doing businesses. So it is a very interesting topic. I mean, what is an ethical supply chain? We are going to have a great conversation. Today, our host is Benita Lee, a successful entrepreneurial company that she represents. So Benita, good morning.
Hi everyone.
So we are going to have a coffee, and happy Friday, by the way.
That's a good coffee.
Yes, that is definitely a good coffee. Benita, tell us, how's everything going in that side of the world, Canada, Alberta?
Really good. We just ended 4 days of a huge Congress, an energy congress. Yeah, 4 days in Calgary. Mm-hmm. We hosted the world. There were, you know, people from more than 100 countries there, and it was so fun. It was so fun. I met so many people. We connected. I learned so much, and especially where the energy industry is. Mm-hmm. Becoming more decarbonized, you know, transitioning to net zero. Mm-hmm. So there were like clean energy players there. There were conventional energy. There was carbon capture. And oh, yeah, this is the team. Thanks for pulling that up, Jose. This is the Evando Americas and Evando Group, and also their strategic partner Sancon Commissioning at the conference. Uh-huh. We're all in our colors. Chris Postel is the managing director of the Americas, and he had the brilliant idea of getting vans in our colors.
That's very clear. I mean, I like that idea. Very colorful, very, very, very nice. I mean, it looks very nice.
Yeah. So just as ethical supply chains focus on three areas, the three areas that Advano focuses on is people, methodology and technology. They've tied several of their visions to the UN Sustainable Development Goals, which were like gender diversity, environment. Yeah, they're doing really cool things. They do things like when they create a PO, they also plant trees in a forest in like the East Asias at the time.
Okay.
So pretty soon they're going to have a forest here.
So every single PO means how many trees?
I think it was either 8 or 12.
Okay.
So that's a lot of, because trees are carbon sinks, and so they absorb carbon emissions out of the air. And then on the other side, their focus on people and creating diversity in a kind of like a primarily male industry. So that was cool.
Okay.
Oh. And then in regards to their technology, they have a software module that, eliminates paper. So eliminates paper and helps projects come in budget, on budget, on time. And when you do that, there's less, there's less trucks coming to your site. There's less pollution that you're emitting because you're doing everything in time and budget, right?
Right. So this is the dashboard that you were talking about, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's Laszlo Cardos. And he is like the mastermind behind the tax demo. The tax software is turnaround control systems. But I mean, generally it's like a project control company.
Okay. And tell me more about this this picture that I'm showing right here.
Oh, I had an opportunity to moderate a panel. And so we had some women from industry from like all walks. We had like an engineer, a director of operations, somebody in finance and oil and gas servicing background. We had women from, and an engineer, an engineer. And we had them just talk about their personal experiences, challenges, how they define inclusivity, and the enablers that they see.
Yeah, this is, I mean, to the I'm talking to the audience, right? I'm gonna be a little bit biased, but Benita did a great job conducting this conversation. It was great. I was watching live.
And were you? Thanks, Jose. Yes, we appreciate the support.
No question about it. I mean, how am I going to miss something that you are going to be doing? Come on.
Ah, thank you.
So the conversation was very, I mean, it was great. Now I'm going to recommend people to go to this particular site and just watch it and listen to it. It was a good 20 minutes conversation, definitely, or even probably more than that. But I don't remember the track, but it was great. So congratulations. I mean, you did an amazing job there.
Well, thank you very much. I see that we have Janice here. We have John here. We have Bill Stankiewicz.
Hey, Bill, that's my dear friend from Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, that's right.
this is a guy.
Armando
Alvarez.
Yes.
Hello, Armando.
Michael, thank you all so much for tuning in to another great episode of Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. We're going to be talking about ethical supply chains.
That is correct. Yes, we're going to be talking about, I mean, what it is, why do we need it, maybe some challenges that we have when we are going to be implementing it, and we are going to have some samples as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, by the way, Bill says that he is multitasking. He's watching the pot. I mean, he's watching us between teaching. Oh my God. So thank you, Bill. I mean, it's always great to have your support. I'm hoping that everything that you are doing in Savannah for the industry, I mean, is just paying a good result. Bill is someone that is very, I mean, he's like an ambassador for Savannah, Georgia. I don't know why he is not being nominated for to be a mayor. Because probably he's going to be doing an excellent job. He's promoting the Savannah. He's promoting, he's always looking out to help people, to people that are looking for a job. I mean, he's connecting all the dots there. So great job, Bill. Bill was part of our show last year. I don't remember exactly when it was, but he was part of the show. I think that it's about time to Bill to stop here and share with us, I mean, everything that he's doing and where the industry is heading. So I'm going to be reaching out, Bill, and see if we can work out something for the near future. Okay, so today we are going to be talking about, I mean, an ethical supply chain. What it is? What do you think that it would be a good definition, Benita?
I brought one up.
Okay, good.
Let's see. Okay, modern supply chains are global, complex, and multi-tiered, which makes it easy for unethical practices to happen without the brand's knowledge. For a major organization, it's no longer enough to know what your supplier is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what their supplier is doing and their supplier's supplier and so on. So, yeah, we used to, do our checks for know your customer and know your vendor. But now it goes, you know, further up the tier.
Mm-hmm.
An ethical supply chain operates in a way that delivers the highest levels of ethical and sustainable operations. And this spans three key elements: economic, environmental, and social responsibility. And particularly focuses on eliminating child and slave labor,
mm-hmm.
safe and hygienic working conditions, fair pay and working hours, anti-bribery and corruption, ethical sourcing and procurement, and environmental awareness and sustainability. So, I mean, I think that when you're looking at ethical supply chains, you need to look at like the supply chain management S, you know, like all the way from your suppliers to your warehouses, to your manufacturing facilities, to your customers,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
even. And all the transportation along the way.
Yeah, and I don't know, I'm trying to make some memories. I mean, but this wasn't very, it wasn't a part of the conversation in different conference rooms for companies. Ethical supply chain, I mean, I started listening about these not that long ago anyway, right? What do you think? I mean, I am probably missing something, or you have a better reference?
I think it's been called different things during the past 20 years. I remember I chose my major as international business, but then I chose my minor in university as social responsibility because that's what it was called back then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We called it, you know, how to be a good corporate citizen.
Right, right. Now, yeah, thank you for that, because that's exactly correct. And I remember way in the past when we were talking about CSR, I implied that it was customer service representative, but it's not.
Oh, right. It can be, but not in this context. Yeah.
And they were referring to corporate social responsibility. That's exactly what
right,
it was.
Right, right.
Now, the corporate social responsibility was driven in a specific way, more on different topics than the topics that in reality are important. Because what are the major areas that probably, when we are talking about, I mean, ethical supply chain, we are talking about here. One is sustainability, right? So the other one is the fair labor practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw the strikes. We've seen like a lot of those in the news. The strikes, you know, the inability of U.S. citizens to source from the Chinese region, the Xinjiang region. And what else in those topics? I want to answer Janice's question because I know that she's a founder. She's mm-hmm. the founder of a pillow that, you know, brings comfort to, you know, the elderly, everybody really. Like, pets have been known to steal that pillow and like bring it to the fireplace and lie on it. Children have been known to steal it from their parents, but it's basically, and Janice will correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a pillow that you can put on the back of a wheelchair or a chair to hold your head up and stabilize you when you're sitting.
Okay.
Lying down, it's I had the opportunity to demo it, try it in San Antonio 2 weeks ago when I was down there, and I had the opportunity to meet Janice. She's awesome.
Okay.
So she's like, I suppose her, you know, her pillow is made up of certain materials.
Okay.
And when she goes about sourcing that materials, I think her question is like, how do you do ethical sourcing when you're relying on service providers or, you know, supplies from a third party, raw material from a third party? And I would say you do your research and your homework about them, just as you would if you were like looking into what markets that you want to enter. You want to enter the markets that you can export or import into. So when you're looking at the cotton or the textiles or the foam or whatever, then you want to look at your supplier. And then there's ways of getting information about where they get their supplies. And you really should, because when you're importing those materials into the US, there's certain materials from certain countries that are sanctioned or import restricted. So you want to work with your service providers to and ask a lot of questions. I can talk about that with you in a conversation, Janice, if you want to hear more.
Yeah, Janice, I need to learn more about your product, that's for sure, because it's something.
Can you order a Tausi for me too? It's called a Tausi.
Okay.
T-A-U-S-I. And Jose is in the US, so he can order it online. I'm in Canada, so I don't think she's exporting yet, but I get the feeling it's gonna be really soon.
Yeah, in this particular case, because I don't think that it's gonna be too heavy, it would be easy to send it to Canada, that's for sure.
That's right.
Right. I mean, it still is in the 1-3, falls into 1-3, right? Or 3-1, what is that called? That doesn't have to pay any duty and taxes because it's less than $800?
I'm not sure, but yeah, it shouldn't be very heavy.
Right. Now, Janice, I mean, you are talking to an expert here. What is that? Yeah, right there. Yeah, that's an expert that is going to be able to guide you through. Now, here is something that is extreme. I mean, you are touching multiple different items here. One is that we always, let's say that we are manufacturing something or we are doing any particular activity. We always said, oh my God, but the cause, I need to watch for the cause, right? Well, here is one specific consideration, right? You can buy things probably in the cheapest market, but you need to look at what is happening around that, right? Let's say, for example, I mean, we are talking about labor practices where they are using kids to be able to get the product that you need or the raw material that you need.
Right. Well,
I don't think that is going to help your brand, that's for sure, long term.
Mm-hmm. Reputationally, and if you get fined or penalized, that adds cost to your landed cost, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sooner or later, brands pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it is going to be the reputation, where it is going to be the licenses, anything. And even the company can disappear because if you're going to go against some of these practices, good practices, or you're going to violate any of the standards, then company can get in trouble, right? Especially for startup companies, when the startup companies, they try to cut corners and stuff like that. I mean, they are exposing the company for even takeoff. So definitely when we are talking about, especially when we are manufacturing something and we are using different raw materials coming from different countries, then we need someone like Benita Lee, a company that is going to be able to guide you through to the specifics. I mean, what exactly you should be watching out for. I found something very interesting about the ethical supply chain. There is a survey that it was done among 30,000 consumers across 35 different countries. So this is not only United States, this is in all over the world. I mean, 35 countries, probably one quarter of the countries in the world, right? So half of the people express a desire to have a company that take and stand for something, right? I mean, the products that we consume, let's say, for example, coffee, let's say, you name it, water or anything, paper, anything that we regularly consume, they would like to have that. They would like to see that the companies stand for something. And more importantly, that they care, right? They care about the environment. They care about so many different aspects where we are talking about an ethical supply chain. So it is something that is more popular. Now, I discovered something, I mean, reading this material that millennials, I mean, they talk about millennials, that it seems to be that the millennials are caring more about those aspects. Even based on the survey that they have done, they said that millennials are willing to pay more for a specific one, but making sure that they are making a decision, I mean, a better decision, let's say, supporting companies that they have a social responsibility very clear, that they communicate that. Have you seen those cases, Benita?
Yeah, no, I mean, organic food is a really good example of, you know, people that are willing to pay more so that they have more, you know, like theoretically transparency into their food supply chain, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a long way to go before, you know, the regulations and the packaging and label requirements match what the brands are saying. But I mean, we're heading in that direction.
Yeah, and I don't remember specifically what conference was, but I remember that I saw a company that the only that the company is doing, they are using blockchain, number one. They are using high technology, and at the same time, I mean, basically, the ultimate goal is to have a QR code that the QR code is going to be collecting all the information about, let's say, for example, that we are talking about this coffee, right? So they are putting together in that QR code for people to, when they scan it, they can access what exactly has been the journey for that coffee.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's...
Meaning who is the grower, let's say, for example, a grower in Colombia, so they have the information there. Who is the middleman, I mean, between the grower and the exporter, or I don't know, whatever they need to do for the process, right? So from beginning to end, they would like to collect all the information using technology, of course, and be able to provide that insightful information to the customers, and that way they can see the whole.
I like that, because, and I hope that like it includes the country, not just the like the business, but the country as well.
Yeah, yeah. I was able to, because they were launching that solution. I'm talking about like a year ago, probably, if I'm mistaken.
Was it at Manifest?
I'm sorry.
Or no, maybe the retailers. Federation.
The NFR, yeah, I believe that it was. Yeah, you okay. Made it right. Yeah.
Because I remember you mentioning that, and I thought, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, because for people that care, and even, let's say for example that you don't even care, right? You are buying bread because you would like to have some bread. But mm-hmm. you have the opportunity at the same time, I mean, just to see the journey of that product,
mm-hmm.
then it would be amazing, because it is more meaningful, right?
Of course. And like, as a customs specialist, you study certificate of origins. Certificate of origins really speak to that.
Right.
Like that's exactly what you're studying and researching and analyzing when you're looking at products, where it came from and what its end use is.
Absolutely correct, yes. And it was amazing. It blew my mind completely, because it's amazing when you see, let's say, for example, I mean, the product that I'm manufacturing involves four raw materials. So definitely I'm going to be able to have that history as well, where those raw materials are being outsourced from, right? I mean, there's some information, like a critical information for the company, right? If it's something secret for that particular chain, but the only that is states is that, yes, there's public records about those companies. Yes, they are being vetted in those specific countries. And the whole entire chain is there. So it was pretty amazing. I know that Procter & Gamble is doing something similar to that. Let me see what I recall. And even many years back, I remember I'm talking about salmon, right? In Whole Foods, this supermarket. I don't know if Whole Foods is in Canada. I believe that.
No. Maybe in some provinces, but not in this one.
Okay, so basically, if you want to buy a specific salmon, I mean, they are going to give you the story about that salmon, right?
I like that, because, yeah, is it wild or is it farmed?
Wild.
Right.
So I remember reading those stories. I mean, it's just, let's say, a family that is going and fishing and getting that prepared and export that. And I mean, it is amazing, because your mind travels, right? Can you imagine, I mean, that you buy a piece of meat or fish or whatever, and you are cooking it, and you know, that is a good conversation at the table, by the way, right? What exactly yeah,
where
do
you
mean?
Can just where you can just scan the QR code,
mm-hmm.
and then know where it came from, you know. But then there's the whole compliance and like, are people telling the truth? Mm-hmm. There's that part.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, there's a dark side for everything, right?
Mm-hmm. That's why we have like the auditors and the regulators and
right.
Oh, now, geez, yeah.
Now, it is important when we are using blockchain, because blockchain is going to be probably bet all these kind of stories, right? Because you're going to be able to see those transactions, where those transactions were taking place, when and how this verification in that way. Yes, it's going to bring some clarity and transparency to the process. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm assuming, I really don't know any company that is doing something like they are creating a fake story around a product just to be able to sell it. I think that it would be
well,
that.
Isn't like Starbucks one of them? Their whole thing was fair trade coffee, but then we realized, and I'm just speaking from memory, from headlines, I heard something about like, I just heard some bad news about them and how they weren't being transparent about, you know, like how they get their coffee or how they source it, or if they were paying a fair price for the coffee. I can't remember, from the farmers, something about that whole scenario.
Yeah. And here is what I have a comment about companies, right? For example, I mean, Starbucks.
Okay.
I used to like it more when, I mean, let's say probably 5 years or even more probably, right? Because the new thing. Now, I don't like it quite much because the quality of the coffee and how the company have changed probably. And probably because the small coffee bars are being penetrated in the market, and then they offer something different, completely different, more personal, more for you instead of for everyone. So that's the reason. But any successful company has good press and bad press, that's for sure. And someone throws something to the news to speaking about bad about some practices, then the whole brand start collapsing because it was put on the news or on the social media or whatever, right?
Well, it takes a dent anyway.
Yes. Now, I know for sure that the sourcing that they were doing for some coffees, I mean for coffee, I mean, even chocolate as well. I mean, it was specific. I mean, it was absolutely real. I heard stories about, I mean, that it was what you were mentioning before, but I don't know, it's quite difficult to know who is right, who is wrong, or if that's 100% accurate, right? I know that they are doing very well. And this is the problem when you succeed in life. You are going to have some people that is going to hate you because you succeed.
But, okay, well, I'll investigate into that one, and so that I'll know more about it.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to learn about is what you mentioned before about blockchain.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That is an excellent topic. I mean, by itself.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert, but I have read a lot. I have trying to learn, because that is something that is going to be present in our life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about coffee. I mean, logistics and supply chain. I'm talking about in our life is going to be present.
Right.
Different areas, because it's probably what when we are talking about transparency and know more about what we do. That's one way to collect that information that is going to be on the open for people to be able to access that information. So definitely that it would be a good topic for one of these Fridays, that's for sure. So I have John here. Thank you, John, for participating. I mean, always your insight is valuable. By the way, John was part of our coffee break logistics and supply chain, and it's about time as well for you to come back. So. Let's get in touch and see when we're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I would love to hear John's suggestions on a topic he would like to come on and speak about.
So what I was saying earlier about this survey, I mean, half of the people, that's a big number. Half of the people, I mean, definitely they care about where the pros are coming from, what are the practices, the good practices that the company is doing that. And they are willing to support those companies, even though that the price can be on the high side.
Mm-hmm.
There's many companies, I mean, and something that became very popular, I mean, I'm talking about, I mean, for the last couple of years, is the unboxing, right? When thanks to social media, they do the unboxing experience of specific products, and they not only invest on the packaging, but also they invest on the history of that, the story, I'm sorry, not the history, the story of that product. And they make something personal, especially for when we are talking about subscriptions items, right? Companies are paying more attention to that because finally they have seen that we are the consumers of that product. We care about more than just using that specific product, right? We would like to identify, we would like to connect with the brand. So for creators and brand owners, I mean, it's something that definitely we should be paying attention. What are those questions that the consumers are asking today?
I mean, I would say, you know, like, I guess we all pick what is important to us, and then that could be eliminating child and slave labor, safe working conditions, fair pay and working hours, anti-bribery and corruption, ethical sourcing and procurement, or environmental awareness and sustainability, right? I don't think there's one brand or company that you can buy from that hasn't had any of those infractions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Now, as far as I know, probably the most important brands, not only in America, but in the whole entire world, I mean, they have been in conversations about fair practices, right, in terms of labor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, Nike,
Adidas. Nike, Adidas.
You name it. I mean, especially the sport. I mean, I don't know why, but definitely they are.
Mass production. When you need to make things cheap and fast, you got to go to places where you can get cheap and fast labor.
Now, but it's amazing. I mean, recently, I mean, I'm not being critical about those. I mean, it's just the simple fact that I don't know, for any given reason, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But let's say, for example, Messi is the famous soccer player from Argentina, right? So he was playing in Europe, and then now he's here in the United States.
Okay.
So the point that I'm trying to make is that they sell the T-shirts. I don't know what brand is that, if it's from Adidas or Nike or whatever. It doesn't matter. But is $80 or $120 for a T-shirt? Come on. It's just because it has the name and number on the back, right? So, okay, that's fine. But $80 or more than $100, well, that's a lot of money for a T-shirt that probably costs, I don't know, 50 cents, 80 cents, a dollar, $5, $10. Let's say that you are going to buy that in Dubai, the manufacturer in Dubai, and then you pay $10, which is not the case, of course. You pay $10, and then the retail price is going to be 100? Man, there's a lot of room for that. So every single company, the reason to be in business, one of the reasons, right, is just to make money. Of course, that's a given, that's for sure. But that's not the main reason. Now, I would like to pay pennies and break any fair labor practice just to get another scent, having the opportunity to capture that on a different point. Yes, I know that the companies, they have to invest in marketing, transportation, so on and so forth, you name it. Agree. But a t-shirt that probably costs less than $1, that you're going to be able to buy that in a mass production in China, Vietnam, you name it, any of these places, right? And then to be able to sell it over $100, there's a lot of room. That definitely doesn't justify that those companies are going to go against any fair labor practices or any ethical standard. That's my point.
Right. Yeah, I think we should all be aware of that. And you know, it takes the whole ecosystem, like the suppliers, the manufacturers, even down to the consumer, right? As a consumer, you have to make choices too. Consumer demand drives what a corporation can or cannot sell at that price. So
now here is another thing, right? And this is only my opinion, right? I like soccer somehow, some way. Let's say I know who he is, this particular soccer player. Do you think that I'm going to be paying $100 for a t-shirt? No way. In light of this, number one, I mean, I know all the fair practice, I mean, labor practices that are being broken, right? I'm not saying that these companies did that, but it makes no sense whatsoever to pay $100 for something that the real cost is less than $1. Definitely, it makes no sense. And we have the power to make those decisions, right?
Right.
Like in this particular case and some other cases, I mean, definitely you have the authority just to ask the questions to see if the company is doing the right thing, and then make a decision if you're gonna invest on that specific product, right? Now, it seems to be that the time is running very fast. Let's talk about, I mean, why do you think that companies need the ethical supply chain? What would be those hot points if a company that is listening, that is not doing anything about in that regards, I mean, why they should consider that?
Well, I think we covered, like, customers are more informed and they're more demanding that their goods be, you know, clean, ethical, whatever. And, you know, it's not just reputational damage if you don't consider ethical sourcing or your supply chain to be ethical and you don't focus on those priorities. It can be financially damaging as well, because you're going to get fines, penalties, forfeitures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel passionate about branding, right? So the number one for me, why the companies need to do that is more related to the branding. Is you are going to be protecting the brand. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The number one, I mean, your brand is going to be protected if you engage in the ethical supply chain. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think that's only half of the equation. I think that you're also protecting yourself financially. Because you're going to lose money if you're not paying attention.
And you know what? Now thinking through this, the other one would be that you're going to have a long-term loyalty from your clients.
Mm-hmm.
You go that path, right?
Right.
Because, like, for example, I mean, when people like or they prefer a specific product, right? I know that you are not, you don't like, I mean, the Apple products. I do. So Apple has a customer here forever. but for all of us, it's different when we get married with those specific brands, because we believe what they do and how they do it and what they do it for, right?
Right.
So that long-term connection, I mean, is something that always, I mean, is the effect when you engage in these practices, that's for sure.
But you know that your Apple is made in the same places that my Samsung is made, right?
Yes, with different standards, that's for sure. Yes, you're right about that.
The materials are still mined from the same places.
maybe in a way they are coming from the same factories, right?
Yeah, you're still displacing the same gorillas.
Now, here is something that is true in the manufacturing world, right? Let's say, for example, that I do furniture, right? So I have high scale furniture, and I also have a different quality furniture in order to cover multiple different markets. That's what manufacturers do. We don't see it sometimes. And even people pretend to be, oh, you know what? I mean, this is not an IKEA product. This is something cheaper or whatever. And happen to be that it's the same manufacturer company that is doing it.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing for consumers to pay attention to. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Now, in my opinion, brand owners, I mean, definitely it's a commitment that have to be taking place, right? It is a commitment that have to be made. And then you need to go through all the pains in order to be able to establish that. But more important is to sustain that.
Mm-hmm. you can't just like say that you are. You need to go through the trouble of ensuring that you are sustainable, you are ethically sourcing, you are paying attention, you are asking the right questions, you're using services and suppliers that are also asking those questions.
Right, right. Now, I have to recognize that do the right thing is something that is very hard to do, right?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to do the right thing. If it wasn't hard, then why isn't everyone doing it?
Right. When at the beginning, I mean, we said that we are going to be mentioning some samples. I mean, I don't know if we are going to have the time, but let's try to go through a quick list of samples or examples about companies that are doing the right thing. Have you heard about this company, Patagonia? It's a clothing company.
Yes, I had the opportunity to talk to their customs and trade compliance manager.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, it was a surprise for me when I saw that brand, because I didn't pay attention to that brand. So first time that I heard about that company, but I read very interesting, I mean, information about what they are doing. I mean, they are very focused on the fair labor practices.
They have a program where you can like bring your old coat in and then either get it fixed or trade it in for a new coat. And yeah. So they really, you know, yeah, they stand out as somebody that engages and walks the talk in ethical sourcing and supply chain. Absolutely.
And that's exactly what I mean, you mentioned is what caught my attention. I mean, reading about this company, right? Because they work with the clients to make sure that before they are going to throw it or replace it, I mean, they are going to be able to do something like a repairer or anything like that. I mean, that is an amazing thing. It's a very distinct approach, that's for sure.
It is, but, you know, like, it's not without its difficulties. Like, you know how it's a nightmare for Amazon to accept the returned goods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The same thing happens, I would suppose, with Patagonia, with, you know, their fixing program. Like, where are the tailors and how much, you know, duty do you need to pay for this and that going into each country and out of each country? Like, Can you imagine how complex that system needs to be?
Yeah, because, I mean, every time that we move something from point A to point B, I mean, we are affecting
the environment. There's a cost.
There's a cost, and we are affecting the environment. I mean,
huge. Yeah, great point. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Probably they need to do some workshops and teach the people, I mean, how to sew or repair themselves. I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh, YouTubes.
So, but this practice, I mean, it definitely caught my attention, I mean, because I don't think that any other company is doing anything similar to it, right?
Yeah, no, I have not heard of any. Yeah, that one really stands out.
Now, the other example that I have is IKEA. Well, furniture, yes, they are focusing more on outsourcing materials from the right places now that they are going to be able to renew those resources that they are going to be using and stuff like that. That's very common. I mean, that's what in on a regular basis many companies are doing, right? Nestlé, for example, I mean, they have a huge commitment to be zero emissions by 2050. That's a very interesting goal. Not an easy one, by the way.
They would have to ensure that all their third-party, you know, suppliers are emission-free as well. So,
right. Yeah, they need to start in that side, right, and then walk the chain all the way through. There's one that calls my attention. I mean, going through this particular review for this topic, Body Shop, right?
Okay.
Something that they are doing in regards of the ethical supply chain is to try to avoid the testing for any animal testing, basically, which definitely is very appealing to me. Using the animals to test different products and see if it's working or not. And I get it. Many people maybe have the opinion, I mean, you have to be a way to do this, right? Now, we are in the era of technology. I don't think that we should be using animals to test products and see if it causes cancer or whatever, right?
Right.
I think that technology should be used to work from these old practices. I love animals. Therefore, I mean, I don't want to see those animals suffering for that. Even rats or whatever the animal is, right? That's not the point. Monkeys, rats or rabbits or whatever, that's not in the way that it should be done, definitely. But it's a dream that I have. That
agreed. I'm all for, you know, I know that my sister, she really pays attention to like cosmetics and if it was tested on animals, and she won't buy if it was, or it doesn't say.
that's absolutely critical. I mean, I think that the female population, I mean, has the power, because all the makeup mainly would be consumed by the female population, right?
Oh yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, guys don't use a lot of cosmetics.
Yeah, I do, but just to
hide. You can't tell?
Just kidding. No, but I would assume that men also consume it, but I don't know what it would be the percentage. But women, that's for sure. I mean, it would be probably the big number of consumers, right? And female population who got the power to stop the animal testing, that's for sure. Can you imagine, I mean, that females are going to be banning all these brands that they use animal testing? The manufacturers are going to change that in a split second.
I'm an animal lover too, so.
Now here is one quite dramatic, right? The water supply around the world, I mean, is in crisis. We can agree to that maybe, right? Now, Coca-Cola is a huge, huge consumer of water for manufacturing their product.
Okay.
And in my early years, I loved Coca-Cola, but Coca-Cola is not a good product anyway. And it's creating more problems than anything else. Good profits, yes. They are in every single part of the world, yes. They have manufacturing sites in many countries, many different places. Here in the United States, I believe that they have a plant in Colorado, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And there's no water in Colorado, right? But they, well, it's a big discussion about, I mean, how they do that, right? Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make here is that a company like this, that they use probably one of the resources that is about to be extincted from many countries, many places, where in India or some other remote place, I mean, people have to walk hours and hours in order to be able to get a gallon of water.
Right.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, we're so lucky here.
We should be stopping drinking Coca-Cola and probably be able to provide water to those countries.
Oh, that's easy for me. I don't drink.
So I stopped drinking Coca-Cola or any soda for that matter many years ago, like 15 or 20 years ago, maybe. So.
And I don't like Dasani water or Aquafina water because it's made by Coke or Pepsi.
Okay.
Well, and it does have a different taste.
It does?
It does. I don't like it. I don't like the taste. Maybe I don't like the way they source. I don't know.
Yeah. So ethical supply chain is there's so many different things that we can do, so many different things that we can change. And everything starts with...
Yeah, personally.
Yeah.
With our individual.
Definitely, we need to make a decision. We need to do something about it. We need to be more conscious about every single decision that we do. I'm not trying to preach here. What I'm saying is that definitely we have a lot of responsibility.
Did I say I don't drink pop or I don't drink soda?
Coke, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I believe, but...
I forgot to make that differentiation.
So you drink soda?
No, I just know that in the States you call it soda. Mm-hmm. And in Canada we call it pop.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, Benita, any last thoughts?
No, what a great topic and so timely. Thank you all for joining us and, you know, pitching into the conversation. We really appreciate you coming week after week to join us for like a coffee break discussion on topics that really matter.
And something popped in my mind, thank you to the medicine that I'm taking, right? Mm-hmm. we are close to the episode 100 episode.
Ooh, yeah, because this is 98, right?
That is correct, 98. So
okay.
We are two away from that. Now we are very close to celebrate the second year as well.
Oh my gosh.
Is that a beautiful thing?
Wow. I'm really grateful to have this long-standing collaboration with you, Jose.
Yeah, I like it too. It's been a learning session for me every single Friday.
I learn, we have fun, and hopefully we, you know, add value to the internet space, so...
You know what, I mean, this is out of topic. I mean, I didn't plan to talk about this before. We should be bringing everyone that is going through this Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain program for the episode 100, right? Just to have all these faces.
That, yeah, let's do it. Let's invite them all. So John and
Bill, Audrey, I mean, you name it. I mean, it's been
let's invite them and see who can make it. We can only have 10, right?
Yeah, but we can just cycle them, right?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, just to say hello. I mean, listen, I'm going to try to plan for that. It's kind of difficult, but I will work on that and see.
Okay, sounds great. Yeah, no, an episode next week, you're going to see CJ, Casey Jenkins. Thank you so much for supporting her. And I know that you guys love us both. So next week will be Casey, and then I think I get a episode 100 because it'll be the chapter.
That is correct. Yeah. Well, we're gonna invite everyone and see if they can stop by and say hello at least.
Yeah, we're gonna invite Christoph, even though he's gonna say no.
No, because it's an special occasion. He may say yes.
Okay. I can't wait.
All right, Benita. So it was a pleasure for me. As we know, we are better together because we win together. And thank you so much to everyone for listening and watching us today. Ciao, ciao.